You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
It's not about certainty, it's about trust. Yes, I will say that again. It's not about certainty, it's about trust. It's about trusting that God's not done. He's not done telling his story. Yes, of course, he's not done teaching you and growing you and refining you and ironing you and sharpening you and bringing you into the more, but he's not done telling a story through you. And the cool part of it, one of the cool parts, there's so many cool parts, you guys. One of the other cool parts of it is that he'll meet you right where you're at. You don't have to try to muster up excitement for a story.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Thank you guys for that. That's awesome. So what a privilege I feel I have tonight getting to introduce our guest speaker, Jamie Zalembo. Jamie's been a pastor on staff here in the past. She's a full-time mother, and now she's our women's leader director. So, and I got to add this one other thing. She's something else that I didn't know of until recently, as of having met with Wayne so often. She's quite the tech expert, because every week Wayne's telling us how Jamie keeps him straight and keeps his computer figured out. So we love you, and we're so blessed to have you here tonight.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Oh, well, good evening. I appreciate you all braving the rain, even though we had a couple of sunny days a couple of days ago, that you're not like protesting and staying home, hunkered down, even though you might be in your hearts, and that's okay, but that's between you and the Lord. But no, I'm excited. Well, that's not true. I'm excited that the Lord gave me a word for tonight that I get to share with you guys, because in case you didn't know, any one of you could easily be up here tonight sharing the Lord, sharing what's on your heart, sharing what he's been moving through you and whatever season you're coming out of. And so any one of you could easily be up here tonight. And actually, on that note, I wanted to give the opportunity, if anyone wanted to tag out, I'd be more than willing to submit to you if you feel like you have the word tonight. No, that's okay too. So I guess it's me. But just to remind you, you know, so many of you I'd know, probably know all of you, and most of you know me, at least are getting to know me these last couple years. But seriously, I'm not here tonight to try to impress you or to make you laugh or entertain you. So that's a really fun note to start on. So it's going to be a great night. But you're here on a Sunday night, and so I figured we can kind of skip all that stuff, like the entertainment. I was talking to my parents earlier today about today, about tonight, me speaking tonight, and they're asking how I was feeling and if I was ready. Do you guys know my parents, Wayne and Jackie Brown? If you don't, you should. And if you're not already best friends with them, there's something wrong with you, and I'll pray for you later. But they're the easiest people and the most loving people to be friends with, despite all of my dad's humor. And so... But he said I should have started tonight with a joke, because I was saying, like, yeah, I'm excited for the word the Lord gave me tonight for just the Sunday night crew, the should I say it, like the real ones. And so I was saying, but I hate like the beginning and the intro. Those are my least favorite parts of speaking, as you'll probably see, because I'm sitting here like just waiting to dive off the diving board. It's coming. I promise it's coming. And so he was saying, like, you should just start with a joke. Like, that's what I do at Old People's Church. That's what he calls traditions on Thursday mornings. And if you didn't know that, that's not true. I just totally made that up. And so maybe I should have just started with a joke. That would have been a lot faster than what I'm currently doing. But either which way, I'm just excited to be with you guys tonight and to share what the Lord put on my heart for us tonight, myself included. So let's pray. God, I thank you for tonight. God, I do thank you for the real ones in this room. God, of all the places these beautiful people could have been tonight, they chose to be here. And on a rainy day, no less, where it's easier to convince ourselves to stay home. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for the presence that you ushered in during worship. Holy Spirit, I thank you just for your sweet presence. God, in that it's not on us, the pressure is not on us, it's all on you. God, and we're not here to impress. We're just here to dig in more and to meet you and see you and hear from you. And so I pray that's what would happen tonight. God, thank you for choosing us to do life with each other. God, help us to get it right tonight. In your name we all pray. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I was finishing up my Bible study before the rest of my house woke up. And as I closed my Bible and just kind of thinking about and reflecting on what I had just finished reading and trying to finish all of my thoughts in that quiet time before my two very awake little boys woke up, I was just struck with this thought of how amazing this story is, how amazing God's story is. I mean, it's incredible. And so I'll give you a little context where I'm at right now in my Bible plan. I'm doing one of those go through the Bible in a year plans. How many of you are still out there doing that from January? That's okay too. God knows your heart. But I'm doing this plan, and so it's the context of starting from Genesis and going in, and I'm six books in now, and I'm just getting ready to start Judges, so I'm like, oh, I know it's coming. Like, this is going to be fun for you guys. But I'm reading it and just reading it from the beginning and just one story at a time. It's an incredible thing to do. I don't know if you're in the middle of that also. I've heard it said before that the first five books of the Bible are where Bible plans go to die. And so I just want you to know that I made it out alive. I'm in Judges. I made it past the first five books, even the sixth book, and now I'm in the seventh book. That should have impressed you that I knew that. I'm not here to impress. But I made it out alive, and you can start too. We're only in April. We have a lot of year left, and there's still a lot of Bible left to read. But if you haven't done a Bible in a year plan recently, I would so encourage you to. Whether it's the New Testament in what's left of the year, or starting from the beginning and do the whole Bible in a year, or even if it's just the Gospels, go through the Gospels. Just reading it story after story after story. It's an incredible overview. And just to be reminded of, God, your story is amazing. Just what you do and how you do it and how you choose to do it and who you do it with. And then you do it all over again. And then we mess up and we fail and we're horrible and we reject you and we do things we promise we never do. And then you do your stuff all over again. And then you do it with the next generation and the next season and the next chapter and the next book and the next ruler and the next broken promises. And it's an incredible story. Topical stories and doing Bible plans or Bible studies that are on like a word or a verse or a passage or a Bible character, those are all amazing too. And if God's teaching you something right now, and that, keep doing that. Those are great things to do. But I would also encourage you tonight when you get, okay, let's be honest, like tomorrow morning or sometime next week or like even May, like start fresh May. Like you could even give yourself that. Like start one of these Bible in a year things, or New Testament in a year, or the Gospels in a year. It's incredible just to kind of step back and get this bird's eye view and remind ourselves of who this God is, not just on the subject of grace, not just on the character of Paul, not just on the subject of forgiveness, but man, just to read his story and be reminded of how, man, God, this is incredible. This is an amazing story. And I'll tell you one of the most amazing parts that I think that makes it amazing is that he chooses to involve us. That he chooses to include us over and over again. All of our broken promises and all of our stumbles and our fumbles and our not getting it right and our treating each other just sourly sometimes, he chooses to include us and involve us and then do it again. When he doesn't have to, like, you know that, right? He doesn't have to at all. He can just be God and do miracles and wonders and come down like lightning or open up the earth. And that's in here too. And that's amazing. So you should read this. But he chooses to involve us and include us and engage us for one another. I don't know if I would do that. I mean, you don't get three chapters in and already you have the first big problem. And it's a big problem. It's a big mistake. There's big consequences. And he just got started. I mean, that tells you how, like, hopeless we are. But God. Those are my favorite parts. You know what I'm doing right now is that every time I'm reading a story and it says, but then God, or but God, or and then God said, or and then God did, or and then God called, or and then God sent. It's like, oh, I'm going to write this. Because you hear that a lot, right? It's this trendy thing, like, this horrible stuff and life is hard. But God, like, it's on coffee mugs and t-shirts and bumper stickers. And I even, like, color it in my adult coloring. And it's like, yeah, but God. Like, but God what? Go find out. Go read this and find out. But it's an amazing thing and amazing characters. There's this Christian comedian that I recently heard that said he is terrified to get to heaven and meet some of the characters from these stories. Because, like, we're Christians from the 21st century. And in light of some of these guys or women, he said, I'm going to be terrified to meet some of these guys. Like, I'm going to be rounding the corner on the streets of gold, and I'm going to see Noah, and he's going to start talking to me about how he built an ark with his own hands. And I'm going to say, I built a birdhouse once for my mom and got a really bad sliver, but I pushed through and gave it to her, and she loved it. And that's, like, the story he's going to have to offer. And then he's going to say he's going to round the corner and see the fiery furnace guys. And they're going to be sharing their story. And the only thing he's going to have to relate is I was in an Uber once and the AC was broken. It was really hot. So I understand. And that's what I feel like. That's what I feel like is going to happen sometimes with our stories and where we are. And then he says, I'm going to continue on down and I'm going to see the 12 disciples. And they're going to be sharing about how they were there and they witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. And how Jesus turned like a couple of loaves of bread and fish into an abundance to feed this massive crowd. And this guy's going to say, well, I'm allergic to bread, so I probably wouldn't have enjoyed that anyway. And that's how it feels sometimes. We're going to meet Christians from the early Bible times, and they're going to say, I had to give up my firstborn. Those were the days I was living in. And us Christians from 2025, we're going to say, well, I gave up chocolate on Wednesdays for Lent. And it's just, they're going to look at us and like, how did you get here? They won't, because they'll be all past all of that type of thinking, or they won't, and then we'll feel bad, and we're like, yeah, I should probably leave. But God's story is amazing. It's incredible. It's incredible that he involves us, and it's incredible that he engages us. It's incredible that he does it when we don't want it. Do I have any of those friends in the room tonight with me? I'd be the first at that line. When I got asked to speak tonight, and immediately my mind is like, nope. And I know you all, and I do this. And like, this is a gift that God's given me, and I'm so grateful for it. But when I'm asked, like, oh, like, okay, what are all the reasons why I can say no, if that makes sense? And then God's just like, really? Are we still doing this 42 years later? Like, oh, yeah, I guess we are. And so it's incredible how he involves us even when we don't want it. It's incredible when he involves us when we do want it and he's like, all right, let's learn some lessons on pride right now. And then the rest of us do that. We laugh where we're like, oh, what? This is going to be fun because they think the strength is in them and it's in the Lord. I never want to grow used to these stories or become cold or numb towards them or think like, oh, I already know. Jonah and the ark, Noah and the whale. Like, yep, I know all of them. Do you see what I did there? I did that on purpose in case you thought that was on accident. But I never want to grow cold of these stories. And so it got me thinking as I was sitting there in my quiet house, which was just a beautiful moment in itself, and looking at or thinking on this Bible and this story, God's story. And it got me to thinking, and this is where my first point is for tonight. I only have two because we only have time for two with how long my points are. But my first point, in light of this story, in light of God's story, it got me thinking, number one, is I wanted to tell you to tell your story. I joke about what the Bible characters in heaven are going to think of us. And I hope you know that's just a joke. So maybe I was here a little bit to entertain. But it's just a joke. Some of you, all of you have a story. Some of you have incredible stories of tragedy and you're still here. Some of you have amazing stories of miracles and you know that God's not done, that there's more miracles to come. Some of you have these stories of steadfastness and maturity and faithfulness in an unfaithful world. We all have stories, and somewhere along the way, we stopped telling our stories because the next generation came up. Because new stories came along, And somewhere along the way, we started doing this. And we just let the other people tell their stories, because everyone's heard mine. People know my story. But I'm not telling you to tell your story. I'm telling you to tell your stories, plural. That's the catch, because we all have so many stories, so many things that we almost forget. Like, oh yeah, God, you did that. I had a group of moms over on Saturday morning, and one of them, she was here tonight. She's probably off taking care of her baby. God bless you, man. But she was telling a story about how her baby cries from like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I had forgotten that was a thing with babies. And that used to consume my life. I used to dread that time. During this newborn time of my life, my parents were there, and they, before they lived here, they came up in their motorhome and they stayed for a month at our house and took care of our babies, or helped. They took care of their baby while I took care of my babies. And every night, while they would go off to sleep, I would just like wave goodbye as I'm holding my newborn. And I always made like this smoothie every night of like, okay, Lord. And I watched the baking show, like, okay, Zane, I gave it away. It was you. Sorry, buddy. And I would be like, okay, like we can do this. Like tonight's the night. And if it's not, that's okay too. But I would really love it if tonight's the night where you sleep. And I forgot that was a thing. There's parts of our stories where we forget because we get so focused on being on this side of the story now that we forget about those things that still need to be told. Somewhere along the way, we stop telling our story. Do you know kids, they're great at telling stories. They don't have any problem telling stories. They'll tell a story to people that don't ask. They'll tell a story to people that they don't know. They'll tell a story to people that we're like, let's not talk to that person. But Jesus loves them, but we're gonna walk over here. They tell stories all over the place. My husband, Nick, he's a firefighter in Medford, and often he says whenever a group of kids comes in and they show them all this stuff and point all the things and let them sit up in all the seats, and then at the very end, it's always, okay, does anybody have any questions? And so all the kids raise their hands, and the first thing that all the firefighters say, okay, is this a question or a story? And they go, it's a question, it's a question. Okay, so does everybody know the difference first? Like, is it a question or a story? Like, oh, it's a question, I have a question. Like, okay. What's your question? So this one time, my grandma got sick and she fell, and we had to call the fire department, and you guys came and you helped her, and it was amazing, but I never got to sit in the fire engine, and so thanks for letting me come sit in it. Okay, so that was a story. And so, but somewhere along the way, we stopped telling our stories. I want you to know that we need your stories. We need your stories. We need the big ones that everybody already knows. Retell them. Tell them again. Your neighbors need to hear them. Your grandkids need to know them. Your nieces and nephews need to know them. The new people coming in need to know them. We still need your stories. Tell the stories of where God found you, of who you were before that. Tell your stories of how God brought you through times where you thought you were going to be foreclosed on your house. Tell the stories of your salvation. When was the last time you told somebody your salvation story? Like, oh, well, I got saved when I was 5. That's not very exciting. How is that not exciting? That will be a gift if that's my boys' stories. My mom led me in the sinner's prayer. When I was in kindergarten, we were getting ready. She was braiding my hair, and I was sitting on the floor, and she was on the edge of her bed, and we were watching the 700 Club. Any 700 Club fans out there? Is that still on? Oh, God bless them. That's amazing. And so I'm not paying attention. I'm in kindergarten, but I hear them say something about, like, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, like, pray with me now or call this number and we'll give you a t-shirt or I don't know, whatever they said. And so I asked her, I said, how can Jesus live in your heart, Mom? You know, I was kind of having this Nicodemus moment right there, and I didn't even know it, of just what do they mean by that? And so she explained it to me. She said, well, Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be King of your life. Like, this world is a crazy world, and somebody's going to be in charge. And it can't be the world, because they're messed up. And you're really smart, and you do great things, but there's something better, and it's Jesus. And we had gone to church my whole life. I'm one of those church brats who cuts their teeth on the back of the pews days after being born. And so she stopped. She didn't just explain it to me, and then she asked me. She said, Jamie, do you want Jesus to come live in your heart and be Lord of your life? And so, of course, I'm 5. I'm talking with my mom. She's doing my hair. I said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that thing. And so she prays, and I repeat the prayer. And some might say that wasn't real. It didn't happen. And of course, there were times as I grew and I matured in my faith and I understood more, I would say it again and I would recommit myself to the Lord as my understanding of him and my faith grew more and more. But that's when I became a Christian. That's it. That's my story. That's my salvation story. I don't remember the last time I told that story. You should tell your story of when you got saved. When did you say that prayer for the first time? When did you say it for the fifth time? Because you needed to again. You needed to recommit to your heart to the Lord. Tell your story of how you stayed faithful. Tell your stories, plural. You have so many of them. Some people more than others, because there's a lot of older people in the room tonight. Not looking at you, Dad. But some of you have more stories behind you than you think you have ahead of you. Tell them. And can I also say, don't just tell the good stories. Don't just tell the stories of the miracles. Don't just tell the stories of the answered prayers. Don't just tell the story of when God was so obviously speaking to you. Don't just tell the stories of when he was so clearly faithful. Don't just tell the stories of when cash did show up in your mailbox. Tell the hard stories. Tell the stories that made you disappointed. Tell the stories that made you say, God, where are you? Tell the stories when the loss did happen. Man, that would have been hard. How did God sustain you through that? When you prayed and he said, that's not how it's going to happen this time. Man, how are you still trusting him after that? Tell that story. Man, when you knew he was going to provide a miracle and he didn't. And you're still here. You're not just still here, but you're in this room on a Sunday night in the middle of a fake April spring, listening more for God. And he didn't answer that miracle that you knew he was going to. Why are you still here? Tell that story. Can I also say, don't just tell the stories that make you look good, of your faithfulness and your endurance and your perseverance. And I just knew God. No, you didn't. Tell the other stories when you didn't know if God was going to show up. Tell the other stories of when you didn't know what in the world God was doing. Tell those stories. Tell about when you were angry at God. Oh, wait, we can't be angry at God. Oh, get in line behind me. I'll tell you about when I was angry at God and how he let me be. And he said, okay, it's okay to be angry. I can handle it. But I'm going to help move you through it. I'm going to help you not set up camp here. But I'll walk you back to faith. Tell us stories about when you were disappointed. I can't be disappointed in God. Look at all he's done for me. He sent his son. I can't be. Yeah, you can. You can be disappointed. Has anyone told you that lately? Man, there's so much pumping up in church. Of just be faithful. Just have faith. He's going to see it through. He's going to answer you. And that's true. And there's a place for that. And I'm not talking about praise and worship. Praise and worship is how we fight that disappointment. But just a lot of pumping up of like, oh, we're not disappointed. We believe in you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Do you know both things can be true? God, I do believe in you. I do love you. And I'm disappointed right now in you. What do you do with that? What did you do with that? Tell your disappointment story. When you were so angry and you were so disappointed and you were so frustrated and you said, God, I'm just done. And then God came up and said, I'm not done. Tell that story. And you know that this place, the stories that don't make you look good, in this place, not just the good stories, this is where God does some of his best stories. It truly is in our weakness. It truly is when we are at the end of ourselves. It truly is when we are undone. Because then he says, man, that took a long time, but I want to tell you, I'm not done. That's when he does some of his best stories in these places, in the places, not because we're good, but because he's good. And because he's so good, his stories are all for our good. You know, that's what it is, right? It's for our good and his glory every time. It's for our good, God. This is for my good, but I need you to show me that here because it doesn't feel like it. It's for our good, but his glory. He gets the credit for it. He gets the praise. He gets the recognition. We're going to speak his name more than I'm going to speak about my disappointment. It's for our good, but his glory. That is his story. My second point, and last one, if you're keeping track. And this is where I really want to hone in on. Is not just tell your stories, plural, but that he has more of his story to tell through you. Those of you in this room tonight, you have incredible stories to tell. But sometimes we get really comfortable in those stories because we've told them so many times, or at least the really good ones, at least the ones that we've figured out how to package because it's been a long time and we have hindsight on it now. And so we're able to deliver that to people or offer that to people or relate to people with that. He's not done telling stories through you yet. I don't know what kind of season you're coming out of. And can I be honest? Is that allowed? It was a really hard winter for me. And for no good reason. Like, I wish there was a reason. Like, oh, our dog died. I don't know. Is that a good reason? Like, that didn't even happen. Like, there's no good reason. Like, it was just a really hard season in winter. And a couple weeks ago, as spring was coming, I heard the Lord start to speak to me of saying, it's time to come out of hibernation. And not that I was even hiding. We were still doing all the things and involved in all the things, but in my soul, it was just heavy. And there's amazing things happening here at Parkway and in our church and our church family in this amazing season of transition. It's beautiful, and there's incredible stories coming out of it. But also, you might be in a season of transition, and you might be trying to figure out, what is this? And it might be heavy for no good reason. He has more of his story to tell through you. The beginning, I mentioned that one of the incredible parts of the story is that he involves us and he includes us and he engages us in his story. And then he does it again. And so I would love to encourage you and challenge you tonight. Are you ready for the again part that he has for your story? Whatever this season that you're in, whatever you're doing that you've done for the last 20 years, or maybe you're starting something new and it's brand new and you're not sure where it's going, he has more of his story to tell through you. And he wants to know if you're ready for the again part, because we see it over and over again that he has these incredible things that he does, and he reaches people and he touches people and he saves people and he redeems people, and then people fall off the cliff and then he does it all over again. He's ready if you're ready for the again, to continue his story, to continue what he started. Your story isn't done. Your stories aren't done. He has great parts for it. There's a next chapter. There's a next page. There's a next season. And he's ready to do it again. No matter how old you are in this room, no matter how young you are in this room, and you're waiting for your stories. Oh man, I remember that season. Let's go to coffee. We can talk about that. Waiting for your stories to start. Waiting to see where your stories are going to go. Waiting to see how God's going to write it. And probably impatient about all of it. But no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been in your Jesus journey, there's always more to learn. I think we would all agree on that, right? But also, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how long you've been on your journey with Jesus, he has more story to tell in your life. He's not done telling stories through you. He's not done telling his story with you. He's not done engaging you and involving you. There might be a whole world of things going on around you that so many people are included in or involved in or a part on, and you're kind of just sitting over here thinking, well, I guess I'm just going to be over here. whatever you're over here is, God has a story to tell through you here. God has a story to continue with you here. Tell your stories. And know that he has more of his story to tell through you. It's not about certainty. It's about trust. Yes, I will say that again. It's not about certainty. It's about trust. It's about trusting that God's not done. He's not done telling his story. Yes, of course, he's not done teaching you and growing you and refining you and ironing you and sharpening you and bringing you into the more, but he's not done telling a story through you. And the cool part of it, one of the cool parts, there's so many cool parts, you guys. One of the other cool parts of it is that he'll meet you right where you're at. You don't have to try to muster up excitement for a story. You don't have to try to figure out where he's going with it. You don't have to try to pump yourself up like, okay, we're spring, we're out of winter, out of hibernation, awake, my soul. Okay, here we go. If you're feeling that, that is awesome. And ride that train, because that train is contagious and we need that. But if you're not on that train, you don't have to muster that up. You don't have to try to give yourself this coach talk. God will meet you where you're at and say, let's keep going. Let's keep telling my story for your good and his glory. Let's let him continue the story through you. Rachel and Jerome, if you guys would come back up, and this is how we're going to end tonight. Maybe we'll see where it goes. Like I said, I hate the beginnings and I hate the endings. I promise I won't tell a joke at the end. That seems inappropriate. But I would love it. You can stand, you can sit, you can go off to the sides if you want. You can turn your chair into an altar and turn around and get on your knees. Whatever it is to kind of shift into this next atmosphere. But would you, as Rachel and Jerome, just sing whatever song over you, would you let God start to take you to that place? Saying, God, what story do you have next that you want to tell through me? Not, God, what do you have for me? That's not what this is. But say, God, what story is it that you want to start telling through me? That you're saying, let's keep going. Let's tell another story in this season of your life. How I'm sustaining you right now in your disappointments. How I'm meeting you where you're at right now, where you'd rather not be. How I'm your provider right now in ways that you didn't know you needed providing in this season of life, in this chapter of life, in this age of life. Let's keep telling a story. Would you let the Holy Spirit just begin to show you? Let him put pictures in your mind and your heart. Let him put words and let your soul just sit with his as you begin to ruminate on that. Would you guys stand with us, please, just in this moment before we dismiss? I got a picture in my mind that I'm going to share with you. And my one disclaimer, because I tend to be a queen of disclaimers, is I speak children. And so this is a speaking children with me. So if you don't speak children, come to me later and I'll try to interpret it for you. But how many of you know the movie Frozen? Spiritual movie. And so there's these two sisters in this movie, Anna and Elsa, and Elsa is the older one and Anna is the younger one, and right off the bat their parents die in the first movie, and it's this like, oh wow, okay, this is a great kids movie. And so Elsa, the older one, is that right, Zane? Is Elsa the older one? Yeah, okay. She just immediately goes into her room and hides away and doesn't know what else to do. And she's having these struggles of these ice powers also, but she just doesn't want to see anyone, doesn't know how to deal with it, and it's just this, okay, like this is my life now, I guess. I'm just going to be hiding in my room. And they're still young, and they used to play all the time, and they had this beautiful relationship and just fun and innocent and such freedom in this relationship. And so Anna, the younger one, is trying to figure out, where did my sister go? What happened? We used to play all the time. And so she got this idea. They used to, the younger one would always wake the older one up, which that's very accurate too, and jump up on her bed and come to her and say, early in the morning before the parents woke up on a snowy day, and say, do you want to build a snowman? And that would immediately get her sister up, and they'd go play, and it was beautiful in this relationship, and they would have these imagination times together, and it was incredible. And so after their parents died, this horrible tragedy in their life, Elsa hides away and locks herself in her room, and the younger one, Anna, is on the outside of the door, right? And so she comes up to the door, and she sticks like her little lips through the keyhole so her sister will hear her. And she has this idea of, I know what's gonna get my sister. I know what will bring her back to me. And she whispers through the door, do you wanna build a snowman? And I feel like that's what the Lord is asking us tonight. For some of us who maybe it's been a while since you've built a snowman. For maybe it's been a while since you've kind of just run free with the Lord and let his imagination bring you freedom and healing and fun and just stretching the territory that is in front of you that you don't even see. And so you've locked somewhere along the way, you've locked yourself in a room and it's safe there and it's comfortable and you have great stories that you can tell of old where you used to do things with him. But the second part to what I had tonight wasn't just tell your stories, but keep it going. He wants to keep the story going through you. And so he's on the other side of the door and he's whispering to you, do you want to build a snowman? And it's an excitement and it's fun. And so that's what I want to leave you with tonight. That the Lord would stir that back up in you. That the snowmans that you used to build with him aren't the last ones. That he has more. And to let his excitement bring that back to you, that you don't have to be the one to muster that up. You don't have to be the one to pump yourself up or find that again or try to get on the bandwagon, but he is ready to meet you where you're at, but he's gonna continue to pursue you and compel you with his love and his excitement because he already knows what it's gonna look like. He has amazing plans for the snowman, but it doesn't work without you. And he wants you to tell that story. He wants to tell that story through you, not just the person next to you, not just the people up here, not just the people who are on track and they're just right in the limelight of God, but he wants to tell another story through you. So would you just lift your hands with me tonight? I'm gonna pray over you and we'll end our time together as we go into another week. But Father, here we are. God, I don't know where everyone's at in this room, but I thank you that I don't need to know, and I thank you that you know. God, I thank you that whatever it is that might have caused us to lock ourselves in a room and we're trying to process it and we're trying to work through it and we're trying to move through it, God, you already know how to do all of that. You already know how to move us into this place of faith again, because that's your story. It's a story of again and doing it over and over and over because you are so good. So God, we lift our hands to you as a sign of having open hearts to you. God, and as scary as it is to open that door, as hesitant as we might feel, as much as we might be digging our heels, God, I pray that we would open that door to you and say, a snowman, really? But okay, because I trust you, God. It's not about certainty. Of knowing where it's gonna go, of knowing what it's gonna look like, of knowing who it's gonna involve, of knowing who it's gonna impact before we step out there. It's not about certainty, but it's about trust. And you've shown us over and over and over again with the stories that we've heard, with the stories that we've even told, that we can trust you. So God, do it again. Do it again for my friends. Do it again for my brothers. Do it again for my sisters. Do it again for my parents. Do it again for my son. do it again, Lord. Would you tell another story again in this season, at this age, in this chapter, on this page? Father, we want to be a part of your story. Thank you, God. Thank you that it's for our good, but your glory. Thank you, Father. In your precious name, God, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good night. Go tell a story to someone. We'll see you next week.